Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm with Joel Beckerman, who's the founder of Man-Made Music, and I bet you've either seen his work or, more appropriately, heard his work. He's the founder of a music production business here in the city, and they've done about 50 TV show themes, such as what?
Such as the music for CBS This Morning.
Good morning.
CBS Evening News.
On this Monday night,
we've done a number of different programs for ESPN. We actually created the theme for IMAX in the theaters. On and on and on.
Wow. How did you get into this business, Joel?
Well, interesting. I've always been a music person. You know, took piano lessons in second grade like a lot of other people. But as I went over time, began to score television and then learned a little bit about scoring film. And really where I am at this point in my career is all the things I've learned, how to score stories moment to moment to moment in television and film, I'm now scoring the rest of the world. Because whether or not we realize it, every single moment of our lives is scored by music and sound. And it's guiding our choices and changing our mood in an instant and making and breaking our connections with people, places, and things.
How so? For instance, will you change someone's mood a few times during a commercial, or will you have just one mood for the whole commercial?
Well, it's the former. Really, the idea is storytelling, we all know, has a beginning, middle, and an end. But a lot of times there are deviations in the story that go different places. And the same sort of theories and the things that we do in entertainment really apply to business, and they apply to how people connect with brands and businesses.
Who are your clients?
Well, we've been working with AT&T for the last 8 or 9 years. We're working with IMAX in terms of the theater experience and sort of giving them credit for what they provide in the theater experience, which is the best of all possible worlds in visuals and sound. We're working with companies creating products. We actually created the external sound for the Nissan electric vehicles that are coming up to give that brand a sound, and partly the cars need to have a sound because I don't know if you've ever been crept up by an electric car. You can't hear them. So the government, actually in the U.S. and the EU, are requiring these vehicles to make a sound for pedestrian safety. But the Nissan people were very smart. They said, this is actually a brand opportunity. You should be able to tell a Nissan electric vehicle before you even see it. So it's both functional and emotional sound for products, businesses, experiences, and services.
You came up with that sound?
Yes.
And have we heard it yet?
There is a video online, which maybe we can include in the piece. But it's the production vehicles are coming out, I'm allowed to say, between the next 1 and 3 years.
Can you describe what that sound is to us?
So first of all, you have to think about the semiotics of sound. We operate in our lives knowing what sounds, you know, if you heard a horn of a car and it didn't sound like a car horn, you wouldn't know to step out of the way. So really what it is trying to, first of all, build off the semiotics of sound that we understand as human beings moment to moment. So, so it becomes sort of a background sound that you respond to. That's the first thing. The second thing in terms of the sound of what we wanted to create for Nissan is really what does clean energy sound like? So that's sort of the creative brief. And really where we ended up was coming up with a sound that sort of, it definitely sounds organic. It definitely sounds clean. And in a lot of ways, it has a slight resemblance to a human voice. So they actually named the sound in association with it sort of sounding like a human voice.
Did they name it Joel?
No, that would be great promotion, but they actually didn't do that.
So you came up with a sound to signify clean energy.
Yes.
Wow.
And also to help pedestrians step out of the way when they need to. So it's a combination of both of those things.
You mentioned AT&T as being one of your long first-time clients. I don't associate any music or sound with AT&T, but I know you're going to tell me. I've heard it.
Well, it's been at the end of hundreds and hundreds of television commercials. Bum, 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 bum. Those tones and a whole sonic identity system, which includes sounds for digital and experiences and you know, places in their stores. It shows up in the flagship stores they have around the country. It shows up in association with the music that the chief executives walk on to when they're giving business conference talks. It shows up in places like products that they create and devices that they create. It shows up in their sponsorships, where they might sponsorship a sport, they might sponsor a sports team, and it shows up in the stadium right alongside with the Dallas Cowboys.
As a business person, can you measure the impact for them of having this sound with all their executives? How do you do that?
Yeah, it's a great question. We worked with a company that is a great partner of ours called Sentient Decision Science, and we created with them essentially a subconscious measurement we call sonic pulse research. So I can't tell you the proprietary metrics for AT&T, but what I can tell you is we measured sound out in the world with people's experiences. So we know actually in businesses now, really one of the key drivers of business is people having great experiences. So what we were able to measure in this research is that if you have a sound you love in association with an experience you like, you are there's an 86% correlation that you want to have that experience again. And if you have an experience and you don't like the sound, there's an 86% negative correlation that you never want to have that experience again.
Joel, and you and your company have placed, in business terms, a value on sounds.
Yes.
Maybe you should get a Nobel Economics Prize or something.
Really what it is, and it's ultimately for us, it's not about the sound, it's about the experience and the experiences that we're creating. And better experiences have values for business that are demonstrable and monetizable.
This is so interesting about sound, I have to ask you a few business questions. How do you know what to charge? AT&T, I know. No,
it's a great question. So I think just like every other business, the first thing you do is you look at your fixed cost, you look at your overhead costs, and you look at the markup in terms of what value you're creating for these companies long term. So without giving away too many of our business secrets, there's multiple components. One component is really the cost to create the work. And then what it is we end up betting on our own work, which looks like, hey, if you continue to use this work, if you're finding value in it, if you're generating revenue for yourselves and better experiences for customers, why don't you use it next year? And then give us a little bit of income the next year and the next year and the next year. As long as we're creating value, pay a small amount of money. So that's essentially what our model is we bet on our own work and we bet on its ability to move business and brand metrics that our customers care about.
And when you explain that, they say, oh, okay. I mean,
what do you got to lose?
Right, have you got to lose? I got this big nut maybe for the promotion, but we're pretty sure it's going to work. And then a retainer or a license fee is what, I guess in layman's terms, what it would be after that.
Exactly. And the interesting thing is also sound is cheap as compared to so many other. You think about companies that have to build out retail presences or develop large advertising campaigns. We're a tiny rounding error on that. So it's a very, very inexpensive investment for potentially a very, very big payout. I've had a CEO at a major, major corporation, a Fortune 20 company, say to us, they think that the sonic identity system we created for their brand is the most leveraged item on their balance sheet.
So you hire lots of musicians for the day, for the half day. How does that work?
Yeah. So the process, it's actually over a number of months. So first we glean, we essentially do an audit. We look at what's going on out in the world in terms of your competitors. We look at really what's the creative brief in terms of how they want to put themselves out as a company, where they've been, where they're going. We try to lead the brand with sound. We don't want to follow. We want to help them transform their brand going forward and people's perceptions of it. Then from that work, we'll actually do what we call a sonic mood board session, which is very much like if you go to paint your house and you look at swatches of color.
Right.
Well, is this the right blue? Is this the right green that we want for different rooms? So it's really about, well, what are people's, even in the room, what's their associations with different pieces of music, different colors and instrumentations and energy and tempos? And is that alignment? Is that in sync with the creative brief and what they're trying to put out? Then we go through a whole process of, it's kind of like flipping batches of pancakes,
right,
where maybe we end up coming up with 8 or 10 or 12 solutions for it, and we continue to develop them.
And
we,
by these 8 or 12 solutions, though, are you in the studio telling the musicians, try this, try that?
So what we try not to spend all the musician money we have in the budget up front. So usually we're developing these things more synthetically with a couple of instruments here and there. When we kind of, it's a funnel process. We kind of throw out ideas that don't work, improve the ones that are working, and then we get to the actual recording part where we're replacing a lot of synthetic elements with live instrumentation.
You must have unbelievable musicians here in New York to hire per diem or however you do it.
Yeah. The best in the world. That's one of the reasons we're here. We're fortunate enough to work with players from the New York Philharmonic. We work with independent bands, indie bands from Brooklyn and all around the country, who end up going through New York every once in a while on their travels. So it gives us pretty much an unlimited talent pool of the best musical talent there is anywhere.
Do you hire them for a half day or a day or a week? How does it usually work in a musician's life?
So usually we've come up with the concept. We know what it is and we know what we're trying to achieve. So sometimes we'll bring in musicians for as little as an hour. Sometimes it's 3 hours. Sometimes it's a full day. But rarely is it more than a day, because if we've done our homework right and we really give them great direction, again, these are amazing players and they can really deliver their best in very short periods of time.
Find some house painters like that you can hire for a half a day, will you? Wow. And these musicians play with the New York Philharmonic, Broadway. After they leave your studios, they may go play in Broadway.
Exactly. A lot of times we actually have to book our sessions around their steady Broadway gig or their steady Philharmonic or Metropolitan Opera gig. So we try to work within their schedules.
A lot of artists, and you're a musician artist, a lot of artists aren't that good at business. You're the rare person who is an entrepreneurial musician. What?
Yeah. it's funny because it didn't start out that way. It was me writing for other music companies. And then I just had this crazy inkling that I really wanted to work for myself, but I didn't know that I was going to start from essentially one employee to 28 employees. So I think I learned over time that I actually loved running the business as much as I loved writing and also producing music. So it sort of evolved over time.
Smart business people tell me it's so important how you frame things, how you present it initially. And I noticed that, I bet it was you, when you did the new WCBS News Radio jingles, it was called the WCBS 880 Anthem. Is that your word?
It is, Anthem.
That's great.
Yeah. So
it's not a jingle.
No. It's much more meaningful than a jingle. When you think about an anthem, a national anthem, that really embodies everything that a country stands for. So the idea was we really wanted to encapsulate everything that WCBS News Radio 880 stands for. I don't need to echo this back to you, but when I think of this brand, I think of it as a dynamic, moving brand in the moment, constantly bringing not just headlines, but depth to reporting and depth to understanding. It's not a legacy brand, but it is a traditional brand that brings that tradition of great journalism and great storytelling forward. So those are all the things we wanted to have the music really illustrate and bring forward about WCBS Radio 880.
It's been fascinating talking to you about sound.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.